Amen. Turning your Bibles to the book of Luke this morning. The book of Luke. Hallelujah. We love those Christmas songs, that Christmas music. The book of Luke. This is a message this morning. I'm going to move fast because we won't have time to do the Lord's Supper. We believe we in it we find His life, His birth, His life, and then, of course, His resurrection and coming back. So we won't allow time for that. But I preach this message almost inevitably every Christmas, some variation of it. I think it's very fitting, and it brings us right to the Bible and the Bible text. And so I want us to look at it this morning. But just two verses. We're going to look at verse 28, and then we will look at verse 30. We know the Christmas story, and you're very aware of the verses that follow the Christmas story. But let's take a look at what the Bible said. So we're thinking this morning about the fires of favor. The fires of favor. I'll explain in just a minute. And the angel came in unto her, that's Mary, and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women." Verse 30. A second time she's told, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." You may be seated. May God add the blessings to the reading of His Word. One of the things that I have to do this morning, if I'm going to be true to the biblical text, is to explain and to lay out in detail the truth of what we find found within God's Word, particularly this morning related to the Christmas story. So what we see of Christmas and what we know of Christmas is all of the decorations and the lights, the beauty of Christmas, the joy of Christmas. What we know of Christmas is caroling. What we know of Christmas is joy to the world. Or hark, the herald, the angels sing. What we know of Christmas is family gatherings, is great meals. And biblically speaking, what we know of Christmas is what we typically see in the manger scenes that are displayed in our homes and churches and courthouse lawns and things like that. So this is our picture of Christmas. It's joy. It's celebration, it's happiness, it's life, and so much more. There's fullness of joy when we think about Christmas. But if we're going to be true to the biblical text, and I think you would want me to do that today, you don't want me just to stand here and paint a picture of how we've made Christmas. But we want to look at what the Bible really teaches us about this whole Christmas setting. And so we see a text here that involves the fact that Mary is highly favored. Twice the Bible says this. Now stay with me because you're going to need to know this today. Twice the Bible says she's highly favored. In other words, she's been chosen by God. She has been anointed by God. She has been a vessel whom God has chosen to pour His goodness out upon and allow the goodness that He pours upon her to be poured upon all of the world. Now, we don't worship Mary as other religions do and other so-called Christian faiths do. In fact, one more popular so-called Christian faith in America says that Mary is a co-redemptrix in our salvation. In other words, our salvation is half Jesus and half Mary. Well, that ain't true at all. I just want you to understand that. What is true is our salvation is 100% all in Jesus and none of Mary or anyone else. See, Mary was human born, so she was sinful just like you and I. But nevertheless, God chose her to be a blessing to all the world. And so she's favored, the Bible says. How do you know if you're favored? Well, let me just say this. You're here this morning, aren't you? And the very fact that you're here means that you've been favored by God. God's got a plan for you, and God wants you to be a blessing to all of the world. And God wants to pour His goodness out upon you. But when we start looking at Mary, we would think that this would cause her to jump for joy. We would think that that she would be so excited. We would think that she would start running around and planning a baby shower, or planning the nursery where she was going to keep this new child. We would think there would be all the bells and whistles that comes with finding out you're about to have a baby. But the Bible says this about Mary. The Bible says when she heard this, go read the text. The Bible says when she heard this, she was troubled in her heart. See, one of the things you've got to know about Mary is this. Mary was much more spiritual than you and I. In fact, in Mary's song, she sings a song, if you'll read the Bible story. In Mary's song, she quotes some 15 different Old Testament passages of Scripture. Can you quote 15? Can you quote 5 Old Testament passages of Scripture right now? She quoted 15. She was well-schooled in the Bible, well-taught in the Bible. She had the Word of God deep inside of her heart, so she knew the Bible better than you and I do probably put together. But she knew when an angel visited her and said, "You're highly favored," she knew the implications of what that might mean. She knew that that wasn't going to be all jumping up and clicking your heels. She knew that didn't mean she was going to get to run around all over town spreading the news, and her friends would throw her parties. And they would have dinner and they would have tea together and lunch where everyone would talk about the goodness of God and the favor of God that's been bestowed upon Mary. I can't even imagine what she was going through if we put ourselves in that setting. Here she is, a young teenager really in this time, and her marriage has not been consummated. It's not been official. She is what we would say just still in the engaged state. Now, I understand that in our day and time that to find a virgin before marriage is near impossible, but in her day it was very common. And for her to turn up pregnant outside of being married, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine. I don't know what she did when she was sitting around her friends after this announcement. I mean, her girlfriends might have been like, "Hey girl, what'd you do today?" And one of them was like, "Well, I went and got a manicure and pedicure." And the other one was like, "Well, what'd you do today, girlfriend?" And she says, "Well, I went and got my hair done today." "Mary, what did you do today?" "I got pregnant." Yeah, that probably didn't go over real well at the time. And then imagine going to tell Joseph how she must have been so nervous and how she must have been fretting and there must have been anxiety. And she might have said, "Honey, I've got something to tell you." "Yes, dear, what is it?" Now remember, they've not officially, in the Jewish wedding scheme of things, they're still just engaged. They've not officially been brought together yet in marriage. "Well, Joseph, we've got this little problem." Well, "What is it, Mary?" "Well, I don't think my wedding dress is going to fit anymore." "Why do you say that, Mary?" "Well, I'm pregnant." Now, Joseph knew right off that he hadn't been with her. And if it wasn't him, then who was it? And yes, there was an angel that visited Joseph and reaffirmed all of this that was going to go on with Mary. But even at that, you know what he began to do? He began to plan, okay, I've got to get rid of her. How could she do this? How can I do this that it won't cause a stink, but I'll just get rid of her and we won't get married and I'll push her to the side and we'll get divorced before a marriage even takes place. Boy, this is not all jingle bells, is it? This is a burden. But let's go on just a little bit, if you will. Now, stay with me. I'm going to move quick, but I just want you to see something and understand something about being highly favored and chosen by God. And so they leave Nazareth. Remember, that's what he was called, Jesus of Nazareth. That's where these announcements took place at. They left Nazareth, and because of the census, they made their way to Bethlehem, where Jesus was to be born, because that's what prophecy said some 700 years before. And so they made their way to Bethlehem. Let me remind you, they did not just go buy plane tickets and jump on a plane. They didn't have train tickets. They didn't have an Uber. And they didn't have a taxi they could call. And they didn't have an expedition sitting outside where they could load everything in it and make that trip, that 80 or 90 mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. What did they do? Yeah, probably, more than likely, she sure enough did, in weariness, ride on a donkey. Late in her pregnancy, some 7, 8, maybe 9 months, because we don't have an exact timeline there, but they're making this 80 or 90 mile trip. Now, I know enough that if you're about 8 or 9 months pregnant, the doctor's going to tell you don't take no long trips. And here she is making a treacherous journey where there's not only perils along the way, where there's not only robbers and bandits and the like, but just that journey on donkeyback, if you will, or horseback, that was enough to cause her to abort that baby that was inside of her. So we see in the life of Jesus many occasions where the devil tried to kill him, but I want to suggest that it goes all the way back to his conception in the womb of Mary, that the enemy was trying to kill Jesus to keep him from doing what he came on this earth to do. And so they made this journey. I don't want to be doom and gloom, so I've really got to speed through this, or you're going to think this is just where we're parked at. And so they made this journey to Bethlehem. Listen, they did not go to the maternity ward of the local hospital to have this child. They did not have the best OBGYN doctors of the day to deliver this baby. But instead, they stayed where the only place they could find room at. There in Bethlehem during this census, and that was a barn, if you will. A barn. Probably a place carved back in a cave where animals were kept, where a feed trough was there, where on that cold, dark night she gives birth to baby Jesus. And it's not the beautiful manger scene that we see, but we're looking at a mother and father now who's wondering what in the world is going on in our life. One minute we have our life planned. I mean, we talked about this, Mary. We had this plan. We fell in love. It was like a Hallmark movie. You know, that dim lighting, a lake by the green grass, a rowboat. We rowed out on it. We exchanged vows or commitments to each other. We were going to have a house, a white picket fence. We're going to have our degree and get the job we want. We're going to have 2 kids, a dog. And we're going to raise these kids. They're going to be perfect. And they're going to be successful. And life is going to be so good. And when we're grandparents, we'll sit on the porch, drink sweet tea, and we'll thank God that life has been so good. He's favored us. It's been said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. There's many in here, young people, listen to me. There's many in here right now who would raise their hand and say, that was my dreams too. I had planned a white picket fence, a nice house, 2 kids, a dog, dreams and plans. But things have not exactly went that way. And so she's highly favored, but she's found herself on the back of a donkey. She's highly favored and chosen by God, but she has to have her newborn baby in a barn and lay him in a feed trough. Now, I'm a little confused right now. I was very confused for the last couple of months, but especially last Saturday, giving my daughter away in marriage, so there's supposed to be joy in that, they say. There's supposed to be happiness in that, they say. But on the other hand, my heart was breaking. I felt like I was losing my firstborn. So I couldn't reconcile the two emotions. And listen, I'm still at that suffering and grieving stage. So if you come up with that stupid statement to me after church and say, it's going to be okay, you're gaining a son, you're not losing a daughter, I want to punch you. I don't care about that. Maybe that'll come one day. When it does, I'll let you know. I think she misses me as much as I do her, because yesterday, they're on their honeymoon now, and yesterday she texted me and she said, I wish you was here with me. I said, I wish I was too. But wait, you're on your honeymoon, so this would be a little weird, baby. So there's these mixed emotions. And I didn't know how to reconcile the two. I'm still trying to work it out. But I can't imagine what's going on in the mind of Mary, because Mary, she's heard from an angel. She's highly favored. She's chosen by God. She's blessed among women. But yet through all of that, she's going through what she's going through. And so not just this, but there'll be no baby showers. There'll be no nurseries in the house. It'll be fixed up. Because what's about to happen now is Mary is about to, well, they're about to go on the run. Because remember, Herod is hunting them down. So in just a few short months, if you will, they begin this flight into Egypt, which was also prophesied. But see, in Egypt, there was these Coptic Christians. There were these Christians in Egypt and small communities of Jewish believers who had been converted and had put their faith in the coming of the Messiah. And so they run down into Egypt to hide. But again, this is being on the run with a newborn baby. And then in Egypt, remember, nobody's knocking on the door saying, oh, we're bringing flowers and we're bringing balloons and we've tied a stork balloon on your mailbox and we're celebrating. Every time the door knocked, she had to grab baby Jesus, or toddler Jesus, if you will, and hide him somewhere, not knowing if someone was going to come get him and kill him as part of the effort to do away with Jesus before his time ever come. And so she still must, after these months and even these years, must be trying to reconcile, but I'm chosen of God. But God said I'm favored. But God said I'm anointed. But God said the goodness on me is going to be upon all of the world. But if all that is true, then why have I wound up on a donkey? Why have I wound up on the run? Why have I wound up having to hide my newborn baby? And she's trying to reconcile all that. And so this is where the truth comes in about being favored by God and being anointed by God and being touched by God. Listen to me. It's possible to be favored by God and still wind up on a donkey. It's possible to be the recipient of God's goodness, to be chosen by God from heaven above, and still find yourself on the run, because the enemy's hard after you. But what I want you to understand, there's some things you need to understand from this text and from what we read and from what we gather. You've got to realize that before favor comes, there's always frustrations, there's always fears, there's always anxieties. See, if God just poured favor on us and favor just comes at no cost, and really he is just a genie in the bottle who we rub that bottle and all of a sudden goodness comes and we know nothing of adversity. It's possible to be spoke to by an angel and yet still have to live life under persecutions, under frustrations, under fears. In fact, listen to what I'm saying. If you start adding this up, some of you here today, for the life of you, you can't figure out why life is so hard for you. You can't figure out why there's so many fears in your life. You can't figure out why there's so many frustrations that come to you every day. You can't figure out why you're having to ride on a donkey, why you're having to live life on a run. You can't reconcile the fact that God is supposed to be good and God is supposed to be great, but yet look where you're having to live at today. You can't reconcile all those. But I want to help you reconcile that this morning. I want you to understand that could it be that God chose you? That God handpicked you. And God says, you I'm going to highly favor. It's upon you I'm going to pour my goodness out. It's upon you that I'm going to use in service to me. And you've got to know that if you have submitted to that kind of goodness from God, and you know that an angel has visited you, or the Spirit of God has prompted you and let you know, yes, I'm going to use you. I'm going to pour goodness on you. I'm going to highly favor you. Then you've got to know that there is a price that there is to pay to walk around with the favor of God resting upon your life. In fact, oftentimes, most of the time, what other people only see is God's favor on you. They look at you and they say, boy, that person's so blessed, so favored. I wished I had their life. I wished I was like them. I wished I could be in their shoes just for one day. God is just using them and touched them and has anointed them and filled them and chosen them. I wished I could trade places with them. Well, I'm just going to tell you, most of the time as well, if you really knew what they were going through, if you really knew where they had to walk because of God's choosing of them in their life to pour His goodness out upon, you would not want to be in their shoes at all. Well, this is not Jingle Bells or Joy to the World today, is it? But I want to tell you some things about Mary. There's some things you need to know about her. The virginity of Mary is very, very important. It's laid out clearly in the text. Because if she was not a virgin, then Jesus would have been born just sinful man. And if sinful man died on the cross, then that did nothing for you and I to save our souls. But we need a sinless sacrifice, a pure sacrifice for our sins. And so Jesus was Mary. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. Remember, her birth was natural. Jesus' birth was natural, but the conception was supernatural. And so we have a sinless sacrifice that was born, lived a sinless life, died for our sins so we can be forgiven. Our sin debt has been paid. Her virginity is very, very important. And it's an important doctrine. I may preach on that Wednesday night. Why the virgin birth? It's essential to our salvation. But that's not where I'm stopping at. But I want to say this. Her virginity is not near as noticeable in this text and in the life story of Jesus as her tenacity is. Because of everything she went through. And put yourself in her shoes, Mama. You women ought to identify with this. You ought to identify with the joy of having a baby. The joy that comes with the celebration before and after and during and all of that. But put yourself in her shoes. The trial that this has been. The burden that this has been. But I want you to notice that she's not quit yet. She's not give up yet. See, she is tenacious in her spirit. And we find in the life of Jesus, we find Mary and we keep finding Mary in the story and we keep finding Mary in the story and we keep finding Mary in the story. And so she knows she's favored. She knows she's anointed. She knows she's a recipient of God's goodness. But she also knows where she's having to live and walk in life through fears, frustrations, and anxieties. But we see her still keep going. See, the question is not from God. I guess maybe what the Lord is wondering is can He trust you with this kind of favor? See, the question is not, Can you raise a good son and be proud? But can you stand when your son becomes a prodigal and leaves your house and lives the way you never taught him to live? The real question is not can you raise a beautiful little girl who's a princess, but can you stand and live for God when you've lost that baby at birth or even before? The question is not can you keep going and stand tall whenever you have a good job, but what about when the factory has or the plant has restructured and you're going home in 30 days? Can you still stand? See, it's all about tenacity. The question is not about can you brag on the goodness of God when friends surround you? But what do you do when all your friends have left you and forsaken you? Are you tenacious? Are you going to keep going? And so Mary's tenacious. The fact that she is tenacious, this is one of the things that catches our eye about Mary. And so you've got to know that favor comes, but there'll be frustrations first. There'll be fears that'll come with it. There'll be anxieties. But can you be steadfast and abounding? And so Mary probably said, I'm supposed to be favored, but I find myself in a barn. I'm supposed to be favored, but I've had to lay my newborn in a feed trough. I'm supposed to be a recipient of God's goodness, but look what I'm going through. And God, if you chose me, then why do I have cancer? And God, if you have anointed me, then why are my children prodigals? If you have handpicked me, then why am I struggling with my health at the moment? Or why is there bumps in my career path that I'm having to struggle with? Why am I where I am if God, you have chosen me? And so now we are kind of seeing the real picture story of the Bible, if you will. But have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about where you're at? And it's very much a Mary story, a biblical Mary story, not a manger scene Mary story. Have you ever thought about this, that, hey, maybe God chose me for this? Have you ever thought about that? Because I tell you what, there's a story in the book of Job of a man who knows suffering unlike anybody I've ever been around. That's Job himself. And he goes through what he went through. He lost everything and he lost everybody. He had a sorry wife and he had sorry friends. But in the end of all of that, he knew he had been chosen by God for this. And he had been. You remember? I've preached this a million times standing here about Job, how that one day Satan approaches the throne of God and the Lord says, what are you doing, Satan? And Satan says, well, I'm going to and fro in all the earth. And we know why, because he was seeking whom he may devour. And remember, the Lord initiated this contest, not Satan himself. But the Lord said, hey, Satan, have you ever considered my servant Job? So God chose him. And God chose Job for that way. And we see this awful path Job has to live. But we also see that at the end of his days, we see him declare, but he knows the way that I take. He knows the path I have to walk. And when he has tried me, in other words, when he's put me through the fire, he knows I'll come out as pure as gold. That's what Job said. And the Bible says that in the end, God restored to him twice as much as he ever had lost. God chose him. God chose Peter. Remember the life of Simon Peter? But God chose him, the Bible says. And what about What about Joseph in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis? He was sold by his brothers, his own blood, sold into slavery, lied about. He was imprisoned. And Joseph himself says, look what the devil has meant to kill me and to do me in. God's going to use it for good. And God raised Joseph up. And he become a savior for all the Jewish people, if you will. God chose him. God chose him. Along the journey through the fears, it don't seem like you're chosen. Along the journey through anxieties, it don't seem like you're chosen. Along the journey through the valleys, it don't seem like God is good. But have you ever thought that you are where you are because God chose you? That God chose you. But we read the story of Mary, and the story goes on. As we look at her, we see she keeps going and she keeps going. I'm about to close, and Abigail, you can come if you have something. But I want you to know this about Mary. Mary never quit. And the thing I'm finding today, and it's been this way for many years, is we got a lot of quitters today. If this church had everyone here this morning that had come through those doors and said, I love the Lord and I love this place, I'm here to stay, we would have to have three sanctuaries this size to house everybody today. People are quitters. I believe a lot of times people are wanting to join a church just so they can hang around and find a reason to quit. They're waiting on somebody to not acknowledge them, or they're waiting on somebody to not shake their hand, or they're waiting on somebody to not recognize them for what they've done, just so they can quit and leave. We acting like a bunch of 16-year-olds. When I was 16 years old, I got a job at Long John Silver's. I didn't know what that meant. All I was thinking was paycheck, and when I got inside that kitchen and found out what that meant, I hated it. I worked there about 7 days. They sent me to unload a truck, and I went on to my truck and left and never went back. We're just acting like 16-year-old quitters today. We walk out on jobs, work. I went somewhere the other day, and there was a district manager in the store, and he said, oh, you going to give me a minute? I got to figure out this registry. He said, I'm district manager. He said, I showed up 2 hours after the store was supposed to open this morning, and nobody's here. And he said, I don't know where anybody is. But you're here this morning. But you're here this morning. You've been chosen by God. You've been anointed by God. You've been a recipient of God's goodness. And you know what? You're here. And so you need to look at the devil this morning and say, by God's grace, if you're looking for a runner, old Satan, you're going to have to look for somewhere else. If you're looking for a quitter just because what I'm going through, just because the fears I'm facing, the anxieties I'm dealing with, and the valleys I'm having to walk through, or the storm I'm enduring, if you're looking for a quitter, old Satan, by God's grace, you're going to have to look for somewhere else and look for someone else, because I know I'm chosen. I know I'm favored. I know I'm anointed. And I know I'm going to receive God's goodness in due time. I just got to endure for a little season. And so I'm here, and I'm not quitting. So you've lost some things along the way. You didn't get the white picket fence, the house, the two kids, and the dog. But things have changed. You still wanted them, but life has happened and circumstances has happened. But listen, I see Mary in the last days of Jesus. It's interesting, she's mentioned every time. I go to the cross in the Word of God. Guess who's at the cross? Mary, the mother of Jesus. All throughout his lifetime, she watched him be rejected by men. His own countrymen rejected him. His own brothers rejected him. Mary and Joseph went on to have more kids after Jesus. Of course, Joseph wasn't the father of Jesus. We know the Holy Spirit was. But she's at the cross. She sees her darling son hang, suffer, bleed, and bow his head and die. Surely she must have stood there when it and said, "But I thought I was favored. But I thought you chose me. But I thought you promised goodness upon me. And here I am standing at the cross, and I've watched my darling son suffer the death of a cross and die. So, Father, I guess it all ends here. I guess everything I had hoped for will never come to pass. This is where I'm at. This is how my life ends. But Mary's tenacious. She's not a quitter nor a runner. And neither are you. We go on to the tomb. And the Bible says that there are these women there who are going to anoint the body of Jesus. And the Bible says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is one of those individuals. Hang on. So she goes to the place where there's supposed to be death. But the angel says, "I don't know why you're looking here, because he's not dead. He's risen as he said he would." Yeah. Can I just say this? You're going to get your life back. He's chose you. He's anointed you. He's gifted you. He's graced you. So wait just a minute. So he's not here, but he's risen. So what do we do now? Well, they go to an upper room. It's interesting to note that in that upper room experience, we see all the disciples listed by name. There's other disciples there, the Bible says. There's about 120 that are gathered there in total. There's these other women there, the Bible says. They don't receive special mention. But see, the Lord wants me and you to know that Mary was there. That she still hadn't give up. That she still hadn't quit. That she still hadn't stopped. That she still hadn't turned back. She's lived through everything she's lived through, everything we've talked about that's totally contrary to a beautiful manger scene and joy to the world. But she's still there. All she has is faith at this point. An angel says he's not here, he's risen. She's not seen him. She's not touched them. But the Bible says in that upper room that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And then Jesus appeared in the mist. Listen. And in that upper room experience, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember the text? So now she's indwelt by the Spirit of the Lord. Once she carried the Lord for 9 months, she delivered. But now she's indwelt by the Spirit of the Lord. She got back what she lost. Are you with me this morning? Is there anybody here who quitting has crossed your mind? Is there anybody here who running has crossed your mind? But you're still here today. You've not quit. I want to remind you what the book of Joel says. Joel 2:25. The Lord made this promise. He said, "I will restore to you all the years that the canker worm, the caterpillar, have eaten away, I'll restore those to you. I want you to know something. You can get it all back. You can get it all back. Mary lived through what she lived through, endured what she endured, but she was tenacious. She said, I'm not quitting, I'm not giving up, and I'm not running. I know life's not easy. I know life's not turned out the way I thought. I know life is hard, but I'm here to stay. Until I get it back, I'm here to stay. And so maybe the Lord has spoke to you in some way this morning. You are anointed. You are chosen by God. You are highly favored. And because of that choosing, you have had to walk in unbearable places. Unthinkable things have you had to endure. But it's because He chose you. And you wonder why? I'll tell you why. Look at yourself this morning. You're here. You should have given up a long time ago. You should have walked away years ago. You should have been a quitter among many quitters. But you've not. You're here today. You know why you're here? So I could come and tell you that you're going to get it all back. That you're going to get it back. Because that's just what the Lord does. I want you to stand. And if God's used the story of Mary and the birth of Jesus and the Christmas story to encourage you, to lift you up today, and to let you know you're not alone, I want you to make your way to this altar today. Quickly come. Abigail, sing very quickly.